Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We come to the conclusion of our study in the fundamentals of a healthy church. And I ask the question, where do we go from here? We have, since January, been looking at those elements that make for a healthy Christian life and for a healthy Christian church life. But as I was sharing with Sunday school class this morning, you can have all of that information, but if you don't do anything with it, then it doesn't mean a whole lot. It doesn't really affect you, or affect what you do, or affect how you live, if you don't take what you know and apply it into your life. And that's true with every discipline, whether it's mathematics, or literature, or geography, or astronomy, or whatever, science, doesn't matter if it's any of those disciplines, or if it's simply mining the truths from God's Word. If you don't apply it into your life, it avails you nothing. Beginning in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." On May the 6th of last year, I attended a conference entitled "Reaching the Summit: Reversing the Decline in the Church." At that conference, some startling statistics were revealed about churches in the United States. First, the attrition rate of members among churches is 5 to 10%. The attrition rate, churches are declining every year between 5 and 10% due to death, relocation of members, dropping out of members, or members joining another church. This means that a church has to grow by at least 11% or more in membership each year if it's to be considered a growing church. Second, 80% of all churches in North America have either plateaued or are in decline. 80% of all churches in North America have either plateaued or are in decline. 76% of all Southern Baptist churches in California have plateaued or are in decline. 76% out of the 2,156 churches, Southern Baptist churches in California, 1,639 of them have either plateaued or are in decline. We're losing the race in California. 10 churches from all denominations, 10 churches from all denominations close their doors every single day in the United States. Now this tells you where we are as a Christian community, not only in California, but all across the United States of America. At that conference, I took an assessment of the status of the church. And my assessment was that our church here is in decline. On May the 20th of last year, I asked our church council to take the same assessment. And the consensus was that the church has indeed plateaued or is in the early stages of decline. So on November the 9th and 10th of last year, I asked the Healthy Church Group from Fresno to come and administer the assessment to the congregation. Their report indicated that we are a healthy church in terms of worship. We're marginally healthy in terms of prayer and fellowship, but we are weak in ministry, evangelism, and discipleship. So out of the top six categories in which they gauge a church to be healthy or unhealthy, we scored healthy in worship, and everything else we scored marginally healthy or unhealthy. Which says, indeed, their report reflects the same as the report of the church council, as the same as the report that I gave when I took the assessment. Now, they recommended that we do four things. Their recommendation was, first of all, that we conduct a values, missions, and vision weekend to unite the church behind a shared vision that will help us lead the church to identify what we really value and want to keep as we move forward, to redefine or to clarify our mission as a church, and to move the church closer to defining a clear and compelling vision. Now, what does the proverb say about vision? Without vision, the people perish. And what they are suggesting is that the church has lost its vision. So you add two and two together and you come up with the church in decline because it's lost its vision. And so we need to address that. We need to come back to the place where we understand who we are as a church, what we are as a church, and why we exist as a church in this place. Secondly, they recommend that we staff key ministry leadership positions, specifically Sunday school, evangelism, and discipleship. Third, they recommend that we develop a multiple service strategy by either building a larger sanctuary, by starting multiple services again, or starting a satellite campus or a mission. They say that we're about 40 people away from reaching our capacity in the sanctuary. And so if we get back on track in the other areas where we are lacking, then we'll make up those 40 seats before too long, and then we'll have to think about what we need to do with regard to Sunday worship. Now, we're not there yet. But they recommend we start thinking that way, because if we do become a healthy church, and that's a big if we do become a healthy church, then it won't be long before we reach maximum capacity in the sanctuary. Then they suggest, number four, that we establish a disciple-making process that will teach each of us to reach another person for Christ, mature him as a disciple, and help him find a place of service in the church, because that's what discipleship is all about. It's about reaching another individual, sharing with that individual what Christ has done in your life, helping that individual to mature in his faith in Jesus Christ, and then find a place where they can serve the Lord in the congregation of the saints. Now, the question was asked when the Healthy Church Group presented their report. The question was asked, well, Pastor, what are you going to do about that? And my response was, it's not up to me. It's up to the church. And it's up to the church for a number of reasons. Primarily, the church must take ownership of its existence and its ministry, or it will not make it to the next level of its existence. It will not get back on track. It will not become healthy. Now, I can tell you what we need to do, but that doesn't mean you're going to do it. Because I don't own the church. And I'm not even the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Amen? But we must take ownership of what Christ has placed us here to do. And unless we take ownership, then the course will remain pretty much the same as it has been for the last several years. But I can make some suggestions. And so here's what I suggest that we look at. All right? Number one, I'm going to ask the church council and the deacon council to meet in joint sessions bi-monthly over the next few months to pray together, to discuss, and to redefine the vision, the purpose, and the mission of our church. And if that means that we host a values, missions, and vision weekend from the Healthy Church Group, then okay, we'll do that. But the point I'm making is that we need to get the church leadership together, and we need to get the church leadership together often so that we can pray together, so that we can talk together, so that we can dream again together, so that we can understand as church leaders why we exist as a church, and then get back to the basics of being what the church ought to be. And so I'm going to ask that we do that. Now, I know that I'm going to get resistance from some, and that's okay. But those who are really concerned about the church and those who are really concerned about the future of the church, I'm asking that we meet and that we pray and that we talk and that we pray and that we discuss and that we pray and that we cast a vision and that we pray and that we do all that we can in prayer, through prayer, by prayer, to dream God's dream for this church again. Second, I'm going to make available to the church leadership 4 books on church health and on church life. The first book is Total Church Life, How to Be a First Century Church in a 21st Century World, written by Daryl Robinson, one of the great Southern Baptist pastors and leaders in our churches. The second is Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for the Church and Ministry Leaders by Aubrey Malfers, who is a great theologian out of the Dallas Seminary. The third is The Essential Church, Reclaiming a Generation of Dropouts by Tom Rayner and his son Sam Rayner. And third, Comeback Churches, How 300 Churches Turned Around, written by Ed Stetzer and Mike Dodson. These are research books. These are books based upon solid research on what is going on in the American church, why it's going on in the American church, and what the American church can do about the trends that are being set in and amongst them. And I'm going to make those 4 books. I have those 4 books, and I'll make them available to whoever wants to read them. Third, that we will aggressively pursue the basics of healthy church life by further development in the 8 fundamentals of the healthy church. First of all, we're going to stay committed to the preaching and to the teaching and to the study of the Bible. We have no other resource for spiritual growth and development than the Word of God. Amen? In Acts 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We're going to stay wholly committed to the teaching of Scripture and strive to remain subject to its authority. Now, I state this, and I want to state this emphatically. It is not enough that we just stick to what the Bible says. We must also submit ourselves under its authority. If we do not submit ourselves to the authority of God's Word, then it is not going to avail us anything in the kingdom of God. We are not going to be where we need to be. We're not going to grow as we need to be. need to grow. We're not going to develop as we need to develop. We need to know what God's word says. We need to know what God's word means. And we need to make application into our lives if it's going to make a difference in our lives. So we're going to stick with the word of God, and we're going to strive to remain subject to its authority. I'm going to ask the church to pray. To pray that the Holy Spirit of God will raise up a person whose sole focus will be on leading the Bible study ministry of the church. That will lead the entire Bible study ministry of the church. I'm going to ask further that the church will follow wholeheartedly the leadership of that Bible study director. This person is going to be responsible for leading in the Sunday school, getting it back on track, and developing it as it needs to develop, and for developing additional Bible study ministries in the church, whether it be home Bible studies or additional Bible studies. I envision that we have a Bible Institute here at the church. We've got people who are knowledgeable in the Word of God that can teach in a Bible Institute here in our own church the very basic fundamentals of biblical theology, Old Testament theology, New Testament theology, Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, the Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles, the Epistles of Paul, all of those things. We are capable of teaching that to people who want to learn what the Bible is really all about. And I'm asking that God will raise up someone who will take charge of that particular ministry, and that will be his or her sole focus of ministry in the church. Second, we're going to remain true to the biblical doctrine of salvation. In verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, Peter called the people to repent and to let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, while it is popular nowadays to relax the biblical standards supporting genuine conversion, we're going to continue to stress the biblical mandate that people repent of sin, trust in Jesus for salvation, and demonstrate such through baptism and a life committed to spiritual maturity. We haven't done that. And we've not done that very effectively. But we're going to come back to our roots. We're going to come back to this place where we understand that if a person is going to enter into the kingdom, he's going to enter into the kingdom one way and one way only, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not going to be through attendance. It's not going to be through giving. It's not going to be through evangelism. It's not going to be through teaching. It's going to be through Jesus and through Jesus alone. Salvation is made available by one means and one means only, and that is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Third, we will continue to develop the ministry of worship in the church. Verse 46. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, praising God. Pastor David and I will continue to work with our church teams to keep the worship of the church meaningful to the members and to our guests. We're going to seek to further enlist those who are called to contribute to the worship experience through music and prayer and reading and preaching. We'll emphasize that worship is both corporate and individual, that it is public as well as private. And those who want to establish a family altar in their homes where worship becomes the centerpiece of their home life, we will help you do that. I've always believed, I've always contended, that what we do here on Sunday has very little impact on a person's life unless what we do here Sunday we continue to do Monday through Saturday. Amen? If we're not worshiping the Lord in our own personal life, in our own homes, then Sunday doesn't mean much. And so if you're interested in having a family altar, if you're interested in having a time in your home where the family, moms and dads with the children, can get together. Maybe you don't have kids at home any longer, but you can get together and study the Bible together and pray together. Then we can help you do that. We can provide resources for you to do that. If you need an open windows or a daily bread, or if you need some other tool to help you with your daily Bible readings at home that will give you inspiration on what the passages of Scripture are saying, we'll provide those. But we need to start raising up spiritual families, because the church can only be as strong spiritually as the families that make up the church. So we need to get back to the very basic and fundamental concept that Christianity begins in the home. It doesn't begin in the church. It begins in the home. Fourth, we need to get back to the priority of prayer in the church. Look at verse 42. They continued steadfastly in prayer. Prayer ranked last in the top 12 ministry activities of the American Christian Church. The top 12 activities of the American Christian Church, prayer ranked last. It should be the top priority of the church. Amen. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 17, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves." We have robbed God and we have robbed ourselves of the primacy of prayer in our lives. At one time, we had a prayer room here in the church. We had a prayer room where people could meet together to pray for the worship services during the worship services, to pray for the music, that it would prepare the hearts for the preaching of the word, to pray for the sermons, that they would touch people where they live, to pray for those who hear, that they would be open and receptive to the truth of God's word, to pray for the lost, that they will be saved, to pray for prodigal brothers and sisters, that they would repent and return back to the Lord. We need to get back to that. At one time, we had more people involved in prayer meetings on Tuesday night evangelism explosion night than we had on Wednesday night midweek ministry night. At one time, we had prayer meetings in our homes, people meeting together for no other purpose than to pray for the church, to pray for the community, to pray for the lost. We need to get back to these things. Prayer has to become a priority in the life of God's people. And so I'm asking that God will raise up an individual who will make it their particular ministry to lead the church back to prayer. To formulate ways in which more and more people can be involved in the prayer life of the church than what we're doing right now. Fifth, we need to get intentional about discipleship. We need to get intentional about discipleship. Chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple and having favor with all the people. Discipleship is teaching others what the Lord has taught us in His Word, through His Holy Spirit, through our daily experiences as we walk with Him, and through the teaching of our spiritual leaders. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." That's discipleship. It's telling other people what the Lord has told us. It's teaching other people what God has commanded us to observe in our own lives. Barnabas taught Paul, who taught Timothy, who taught the elders in Ephesus. Peter taught John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, which has taught millions of people about Jesus. Discipleship is intentional. It's something that we have to do. Now, we have a discipleship director in our church, but she needs help to further engage in the discipling process. We need men who will seek out men to mentor. We need women who will help women grow in their faith. We need couples, husbands and wives, who will be available to teach other couples how to develop a godly home life. We need small groups that will focus on the application of biblical principles that will help us deal with life's issues and complexities and problems. We need to pray for this. We need to get back to this. Sixth, we must develop the ministry of fellowship. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in fellowship. The first Christian church, the first century church, just didn't dip and drop new believers, like many churches are prone to do nowadays. They engaged new believers in the work and in the ministry of the church. We have Baptist women's group ready to lead women in the work of missions, education, and ministry. We need to get the men's ministry up and running again. We need to get an RA's and GA's ministry going again. Royal Ambassadors and Girls Auxiliary, missions training and education for our boys and girls in the church. We have a children's ministry and a youth ministry staffed with directors and workers that have wonderful activities and Bible studies and ministry opportunities to engage our children. But we need a young adult director to engage our 19 to 30 year olds. Because we're finding out, Barna is telling us and others are telling us, that once our youth graduate from high school, they not only leave home, but they leave the church, and 90% of them never come back. We need someone who will focus their energy and their time and their effort on that age group to keep them grounded in the Word of God and to keep them actively engaged in the life of the church. We have some 24 committees in this church, agencies and ministry teams who are willing to train people to do the work of ministry to help people get connected in the church. There is no reason why there ought to be one single individual who doesn't know how to do at least 5 or 6 different things in the fellowship of the church when we have so many people who are trained to train you. Seventh, the ministry of the church needs to be strengthened. The ministry of the church needs to be strengthened. In verses 44 and 45 of Acts chapter 2, now all who believed were together and they had all things common, and they sold their possessions and their goods and divided them among everyone as anyone had need. We've got to get back to the place where we cultivate a mindset that every member of the church is a minister in the church. Amen? Every member of the church is a minister in the church, not just the one behind the pulpit, but every single individual in the pew is a minister in the church. Everyone has something to contribute to the body of Christ. Every member of the church must be given the opportunity to know and to develop and to engage their spiritual gifts of ministry. I would like for everyone on the church roll, every name on the church roll, I would like to be personally contacted by year's end. If they're not attending, we need to know why, so we can draw them back again. If they don't want to attend here, then we want to help them associate with a church where they will attend. If they've strayed from the faith, we want to help them come back to the faith. We need to know who our people are, where they are, and how we can minister to them. Amen? Amen. That has been a long ignored matter, issue, problem, concern in the church. And finally, we need to get back on track with our outreach. In verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. You know, it doesn't really matter to me if we re-engage evangelism explosion or continuous witness training or total church life or some other outreach discipleship training ministry. Whatever it is that we use, we need to use it so that we can once again be salt and light in this community. Amen. We need to be out in the highways and hedges compelling all of the culture groups in and around the Winton area to come into the kingdom. I'm asking the church to pray that God will raise up a person focused specifically on the outreach ministry of the church. Now, having said all of that, let me say this. Getting the church back on track is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight. As a matter of fact, it's going to take us years. It will take us years to do it right. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take wrestling with God and wrestling with ourselves. It's going to take study and discussion and getting out of our rut and back into the mainstream of kingdom life if it's going to happen at all. Because, you know, we can do all of this stuff or we cannot do it. We can just put it on the shelf and say, I like the way it is. I like the way it's always been. And, you know, I'm really not going to concern myself with changing anything. Or we can get back to where we need to be and realize that this is not our church. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we don't do what we do here because it suits us. We do what we do here because it is led by the Holy Spirit of God and it brings honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got to redevelop that mindset. This is not our church. This is His church. And we need to be following His leadership in what He planted this church in this community for. So I'm calling the church to recommit to these 8 fundamentals of healthy church life. I'm asking each of us to commit to becoming a spiritually healthy Christian individual, to honor and to bring glory to the name of Jesus, and that we will contribute whatever it is that we need to contribute. We will contribute to the health and the vitality of the church as we seek to honor and glorify the Lord in this community and around the world until He comes again. I'm going to ask that all of us pray that God will revive His church, that He will restore His church, and that He will rebuild His church on the corner of Myrtle and McConnell. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that we have lagged far behind in our walk with You as a church. We recognize, Lord God, that many of us have put our spiritual gifts on the shelf. Father, we have not used our Christian influence to affect anything in our neighborhoods, in our places of business, in our schools, even in our own church. That far too long, far too many of us, Father, have remained idle. That we are basically biding time until You call us home to be with You in glory. But Father, You have issued to us a wake-up call. We realize that we're not what we ought to be. We realize that we're not where we need to be. We realize, Lord God, that we have failed You, that You have called us to be disciples. And that means that we're not only following You daily in our very lives, but we're also teaching others to follow You. Father, the church cannot help but grow if we are actively discipling and being discipled. So, Father, we have failed You in that. We have not been fishers of men. We have not been training up our sons and our daughters in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We have not been holding one another up in prayer. We have not been encouraging or building each other up in the faith. We have not loved each other as You have commanded that we should love one another. And Father, we realize that this is a glaring sin. And we confess it to You. Ashamedly, we confess it to You. We're not in Bible study as we ought to be. As Solomon danced with the world in the contracts, the covenants, the treaties that he made with pagan kings and with pagan nations, and so ruined and wrecked his witness, we're dancing with the world today. We're trying to keep one hand on the kingdom while we keep one hand in the world, thinking that somehow, some way, it's all going to pan out in the end, and it never does. We have the book of Ecclesiastes to teach us that lesson. So Father, help us to do as Joshua commanded the children of Israel as he stepped down from his position of authority over the nation. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I pray that will be the commitment of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room this morning. That we will make the choice, and we will stand by the choice that we make, that we will serve the Lord. Now, Father, we have a lot of work to do. Most of that work is going to be done in prayer. Make us a praying church again. Send us to our prayer closets that we may wrestle with you there in prayer. Speak to us, Father, in that holy hour when we lift up our hearts to you as we pray. Reveal to us, Lord God, what it is you would have me do in this plan that you have set for your church. Where I fit in. What my spiritual abilities are, what my ministry is to be, how I'm to affect the kingdom of Christ in this local body of believers. And then, Father, send me out of that prayer closet with the conviction that I will do what you've saved me to do, what you've equipped me to do, what you've empowered me to do, and I will do it faithfully until Jesus calls my name. And I go home to be with him. Father, there is a lot of work to do. A lot of work that lies ahead of us. We cannot do it without the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. And so we call upon you, Holy Spirit, to lead us. To take the appropriate steps. To do what we need to do at the appropriate time. So that we can lead the church once again. To be salt and light in this community and all around this community. So that moms and dads and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives can see our good works and glorify you in heaven. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to empower us once again. We ask you, Father, to draw us once again by your Holy Spirit to the side of your Son Jesus, that we may walk with him and talk with him as your disciples did so many years ago. Father, we lay these things at your feet. And we ask, Lord God, that you will take the commitment of each and every person here, even now. That you will bless it. That you will encourage it. That you will strengthen it. And that you will ever keep it to the forefront of our thinking. That moment by moment, day in and day out, we will be about the Master's business. In bringing people to know Jesus Christ, whom to know is life everlasting. For this I pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. Stand with me if you will. And as we stand together at this time of invitation, I'm calling the church to pray. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm asking you to come and that you will bow before the Lord, that you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I pray that you will do it today while there is opportunity. I pray that you will do it now while the Holy Spirit is moving upon you. And I pray that you will not tarry in this matter, for if you tarry, there may never come an opportunity again. And so I'm asking you to act, to strike while the iron is hot. And as the Holy Spirit leads you, that you will follow him in obedience to him. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to help us. Let the church be the church again. I'm asking you to pray with us and to pray for us. I'm asking you to consider what it is that God has saved you to do in the remaining time you have left on this planet. I'm asking you to consider how you can bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ while you breathe your next breath. I'm asking you to covenant with us to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ in whatever capacity He calls you to fill, in whatever ministry He moves you to engage in. There are people all around this church building who are dying and going to hell because they don't know Jesus Christ, and it's our fault. It's our fault. It is our responsibility to be light into this world. It is our responsibility to be salt in this community. And if there is one soul that passes into eternity without Jesus Christ, their blood is on our head. I'm asking that we reverse that. I'm asking that we get busy doing the work of the kingdom of God until Jesus brings that kingdom home with Him in heaven. And so I'm asking us to pray. It all begins in prayer, friends. You don't need to come asking me, Pastor, what do I need to do? Because I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you to pray. Get on your face before God and pray and ask Him what it is you need to do. So I'm not going to ask us to sing anything. Instrumentalists can play. And while the instrumentalists play, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and pray. And if you need to come to the altar and pray because that is meaningful for you, then you come to the altar and pray. The altar is open. If you need to speak to me, if you need to speak to Pastor Powell, if you need to speak to Brother Chris, then you can come and speak to us. But I would, dear friend, ask that you speak to the Lord first. Find out His marching orders and then come speak to us. So as the instrumentalists play, let's bow our heads and let's be in prayer. As we listen to the music, as we listen to the voice of the Lord, you come as the Spirit of God leads you.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.